This, A Spanner in the Works, podcast episode is brought to you in partnership with Idea Spies.
Welcome to the 8th episode of the Idea Spies Editor Series. I'm Lynn Wood, the founder and chief Idea Spy of Idea Spies. David Hauser, director and CEO of Silicon Beach Australia, and ideation editor of Idea Spies will update you on what's happening with early stage startups. Silicon Beach was founded in 2008 by the very first tech startup founded in Sydney. Hello, David.
Hello, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. Yeah, today I'm talking about Silicon Beach and how we at Silicon Beach empower early stage founders to come up with crazy ideas that might seem to be a little bit out of the box in the first place, but do have the potential to really make a difference in the world. So a little bit Silicon Beach in the first place. Silicon Beach is, as you mentioned, founded in 2008. And these days, our bread and butter is to get people onto stage and talking about their ideas very early on their startup journey, basically when no one else is giving them a chance yet, because they feel that our founders are too raw, too unrefined. And we think that there is nothing like being too early with sharing your ideas. We're all about getting ideas out as soon as possible and get feedback and learn and improve. And that's how we believe ideas grow to world-changing products and services rather sooner than later. And one of our great inspirations to do what we're doing is Albert Einstein, who was one of the most creative minds who ever lived. And he once said, we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. And that's exactly what we are advertising and what we are advocates for. New thinking to solve those massive problems that our lifestyle on planet Earth created over the last 100 plus years since the beginning of industrialization. And our tool of choice to talk about, educate, and facilitate innovation is the design thinking process, formalized about in the 1960s at Stanford University in California. And since then, repurposed, redefined by many leading innovators and innovative organizations from around the world, including Apple, Google, IBM. Now, the design thinking process itself is a five-step process. And in the second part of this process, it's all about doing things the right way. And talking with startup mentors, coaches, but also with corporates, that's often not the problem, the challenge that people have. If you worked in a corporate environment before, there are processes and procedures in place and project management tools activated that helping you to doing things the right way. But what is really the interesting bit for startups, but also for organizations that hit a wall, a growth wall on their journey, is how to find out what are the right things to do. And that's where design thinking process comes really into place. So at the design thinking process, we start with empathizing with our customers, with our target audience, and learning from them what problems do they have, what problems are really keeping them awake at night, and what desires they have, what ambitions they have for the future. And we do that in a very non-judgmental way. We're just listening a lot, and we are collecting the data. And only in the second stage of the design thinking process, we start analyzing that data and condensing it down to what is probably the most urgent problem for those customers to be solved. And that's important. When we look around, especially in the startup world, but also in the corporate world, we often take action and implementing solutions for problems that do not really have a market. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge, especially for startups, because we do not have in the startup world, early stage startup world, we do not have a long runway. We are basically always seeking for money and we have to create revenue, cash flow, a value proposition early on. If we fail, we might not have the money to try a second time. And when I say fail here, then I mean failing with an advanced product. I encourage startups always to fail, but fail while failing is cheap and while you can reiterate quickly. So, and that happens in the early stages of the product and service development journey before you actually start putting a lot of effort into designing and developing advanced MVP style products. So in the first stage, we create opportunities for finding valuable products, solutions, products and services by listening with empathy, what is causing pain and what is causing desires. And then we're reducing in the second stage, the complexity of the process by getting people onto the ideation team and helping them to identify the solutions for just one single problem that they then can take action on and find advice and tools to execute in an efficient and productive way. Talking about just one problem at a time, especially for startups with limited resources, important. Apple is probably one of the most focused businesses out there when we look about how few products they have in respect to the revenue that they achieve. And that's not by chance, that's by pure design. Steve Jobs once said, "I'm as proud of what we don't do as I am of what we do." At Apple, from the very early days, they make conscious decisions what are problems that deserve to be solved, that need to be solved, and focusing on just those problems and ignoring all the noise around them. And that's a golden recipe for startup success. When I look at the Silicon Beach community, we see founders often fail because they're not focused enough on the problem, right? When you go out doing your product market fit validation, you're talking to people and you learn while you're explaining your solution as a founder to your target customer. You learn what they like about your product, what they don't like about your product, but you also learn about other problems that they have. And it's very easy to get distracted and say, oh, yes, I can solve this problem as well. Or getting distracted by a different target, the different customer is not quite really your target customer, but has a similar problem and say, oh, I expand my product offering, my service offering to this other customer out as well. But again, you have limited resources as an early stage startup founder, so you have to keep focused. The more you keep focused and you solve just one problem with a large enough market size, the more likely you will have success. Now, after we have identified that problem and we start thinking about coming up with creative solutions, the most important thing about unleashing creativity for any team, is it a small startup team or a team in a corporate organization, is create a safe place for your team members. When people are scared about anything that can be a work situation, that can be stress due to tight timelines, the work that they're working on, they are probably scared that they might lose their job, especially if they're in a contracting position. Those are normally not the people that are very innovative. Right, we have to find the right mixture of people that are not too uncomfortable thinking outside of the box, but are also not scared about voicing crazy ideas and putting them out there. And the most innovative and creative people that we know are children, young children, 7 years or younger. There is basically nothing that they can't imagine and can't build in their heads. And if they have the right tools, toys for it, they can, like Lego, for example, they can build the most amazing creative things out of that. So when we want to have a really innovative, creative environment, it is very beneficial if we create environment that is playful, that really gets people playing creativity with each other. And by that, I do not necessarily mean that we have to have a room full of toys and games like Apple once introduced, but having the mindset of playing, getting up, running around in front of whiteboards, bumping ideas off each other in a real physical manner. And most importantly, when we're in this creative space, we have to block out all things that are not creative. So all things that are basically telling us, okay, that won't work. We've never done that before. Comments like that, people that are bringing that sort of mindset into the creative space, they are inhibitors to creativity. And even people that are, while we're ideating, even people that are coming up with how to implement a certain idea, a certain solution, they are already distracting focus from the creative space to the realization space. And that's what we have to prevent. When we are creative, we're only creative. And one of the best people that I came across who created a process around that was Walt Disney, who in his early stages of his company, he created three different rooms for the three different steps of the ideation and product service development process at Walt Disney. And the first room was just for creative people, where no criticism and no thinking about how it can be made happen was allowed. And only when the team in there came up with the most creative ideas that were too outrageous for anyone else to even give it a try, then he moved the idea on to the space where the implementation happened, where people worked on actually developing products, business plan, marketing strategy. When he was happy with that, only then he moved the project further to the spoiler space, where people tried to break the idea and see what could possibly go wrong. If they couldn't find something that could go wrong, then Walt Disney had a product that he was happy to introduce to the market. And yeah, that's basically it for today. Last words. Yes, your idea might not be the one, your personal idea might not be the one that is chosen to be implemented, but important, you're a team, work together, and commit to make it happen anyway. Thank you so much for having me.